He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time.
I believe it can lead into that abundant life of being filled with the Spirit. Because you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're being disobedient on a key area of spiritual health. So we're going to be next door, myself, Pastor Abram, the prayer team. Let us know, hey, I need to get baptized again. It didn't mean anything. I want to get baptized for the first time, like the Bible says. Confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and that God, believe that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. It's a confession. It's not a perfect prayer. When I came back to the Lord, I didn't pray anything perfect out of the Bible. I said, oh God, help me.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles.
Today on Regaining Lost Ground, we hear the third and final part of a restful message from Pastor Shane titled, From Desolation to Restoration. Psalm 51, 10-12 is a heart's cry from King David, which says, Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Are you feeling in need of recharge, or even a new life? Jesus said, come to him, all who are heavy burdened, and he will give you rest. Today, Pastor Shane explains this hope in Jesus and that the only hope for today is King Jesus. You can hear the whole message at Pastor Shane's YouTube and Rumble channels. Make sure to subscribe today. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
We don't worship Esther, we worship God and Christ alone, and that's why we celebrate. We redeem the theme of Easter. So anyway, they're going to say that the body was taken, even though they knew it was not. Tell them, the disciples came at night and they took him away while you slept, which again is absolutely impossible. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews even today. What they did really is they rejected the supernatural, didn't they? They rejected the supernatural. And we see that a lot today. Now, what I'm about to tell you is coming from a person who, you know, I consider, I think I'm kind of pretty conservative. You know, I'm like, anybody, you know, not too gullible. Don't want to believe every, you know, we got to, like, I like what Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. God is not bound by our laws of gravity. God is not bound by different things. That's what supernatural is. Something happens beyond the scope of being able to explain it with science. And if you're not open to that, again, cautious, right? We don't just be led away by every wind of doctrine and, oh, I watched, did you hear this video? Did you hear this video? And this, that's actually a very dangerous thing in the church and in the churches in Africa that we know. Some are solid, but a lot of them are following this false, you know, prosperity gospel, and Jesus wants you wealthy and healthy, and you can get really off on that. But on the other side, if you don't believe in the supernatural, then you have a God who just stays in the box that you can define. No, he doesn't do that. That's too supernatural. I want to be able to explain exactly what I see. And I'm just telling you, pastoring, speaking in different places, it's not hard. It's impossible to explain everything I see. You can't explain how God works. So I would encourage you to be open, of course, but cautious. Well, how is that possible? What am I supposed to do? Does it line up with the word? Does it line up with the word? Can you go and pray for someone? They might get healed. Can God supernaturally work behind the scenes? Absolutely. And so that is the saying that they slept and Jesus was taken by his disciples. You don't have to put your hand up, but how many of you still think that happened? Just think about it in your mind. You need to read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Order it today. Or read online, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Because these disciples that supposedly stole his body, right? If you're going to do that, then it's a hoax, right? You're going to, you know, you're kind of, well, we have this hoax, we have this big, you know, the conspiracy, and let's go hide his body. Okay, well, they were tortured. They were hung upside down and crucified. They were beheaded. They were thrown to wild beasts because they did not deny the faith. If they had were in some of this elaborate hoax, as soon as they caught them, they say, okay, you got me. We put them, in such and such place. Nobody's going to die for something they know is a blatant lie. What happened is they saw the risen Savior. Then they waited in an upper room, which is so important. They waited in this upper room for days, seeking God, praying. Jesus actually said, don't go do anything. Just wait. Wait. Jesus said, wait. Don't answer, those who know. But think about this. What were they waiting for? What were they waiting for? We're actually going to celebrate it, I believe, May 19th. They were waiting for the promise. Wait a minute. They're saved? They're believers? Yeah. They're waiting and praying and fasting, waiting. Jesus said, the promise is coming. The promise. This will be the difference maker. This is night and day. This is spiritual power and weakness. This is boldness and being a coward. Wait for that promise. And they don't know really what to expect, but as they're praying and as they're waiting, it was incredible because it actually says, and this huge wind came through. The house literally shook in a place called the upper room. And what happened? The promise of the Father came and they were now filled mightily with the Holy Spirit. Oh no, there's a weird term again. Shane, you're getting out there. Jesus said it, not me. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be witnesses to all the ends of the earth. Without the Spirit's power, you can do nothing. You think I'd walk into Planet Fitness on my own? Heck no. No way. Boldness. Boldness to speak the truth. Boldness to witness. I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you say. Christ has changed my life and this boldness rises up in me and I've got to speak the truth because His word is in my heart like a burning fire. That's the boldness of the Spirit. So it's available as believers to everyone. That was a waiting period. You don't have to wait anymore. It comes with salvation. The gift of God, the gift of, this is mind blowing. I don't know why this is all coming up on Easter, but here we go. But it's my Resurrection Sunday. Okay. Golly. I get chewed out again. I'm joking with you guys, right? It doesn't bother me because. So now the Holy Spirit of God, God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now comes inside a believer. By the way, no other religion does that, says that, teaches that. So now, as a believer, you have all of the Holy Spirit, but does He have all of you? That's the difference. In my 20s, I was a believer, but I had about this much of the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? Because I had this much of Shane Eidelman. Cocky. Self-sufficient, self-made. Look what I've accomplished. God, yeah, I'll pray when I need it. And that's why the Bible says you're quenching and grieving the Spirit. Was I standing up for God? No way. No way. I was a coward for the things of God. Why? Because it hurt my image. Right? I had friends. We're hitting the bar. We're doing stuff. I've got this image I've got to uphold. But in my closet, I was a Christian. Just don't tell people. And so here is this miraculous, incredible power of God being quenched and grieved. Think about those two terms. Quenched, I put out the fire. Grieved, I've broken the heart of God. And when you repent of both of those things, the fire comes back. The fire, I didn't know what in the world was happening. I had no clue. In Quartz Hill, California, I still remember the house, I still remember the couch, I still remember my tears on the table. What is this? Well, I got to find a Bible. I got to get the Bible. Mickey's Big Mouth, I'm taking you to the trash. Some of you don't know what that means. There's someone, right? And this, what's this change? Now I love people. I want to speak boldly for God. What is happening to me? The promise of the Father. When full repentance take, and that's the problem in the majority of the church, is they have not fully surrendered. That's just the truth. And let me just, quick exhortation to those who do love the Bible. You're a student of the Bible. You love to study the Greek and the Hebrew. Do you know you can still be quenching and grieving the Spirit of God because of pride? Pride, pride, pride. Unteachable. Eager to dispute. You think you know it all. You're putting people down. You have a critical heart. You know nothing about the power of God. And everything I just said, I struggle with. And you repent and refilled. It's all, the more you think about it, that's what it is. Repent, refilled. Repent, refilled. Repent, refilled. Get in the Word, refilled. And I think somebody by the name of Paul said that. Be not drunk with wine, which is debauchery, basically, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look up that word if you want for fun. It's the Greek, it's a verb that actually, it actually says be being filled. Be, it's like you're constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not, hey, I did that 2 years ago. Well, good for you. Well, you better get underneath the fountain of living water again because you're a leaky vessel. D.L. Moody, I can't take credit. And so I have no clue, but we're going to get back on track here what that was for. But that is so important because that's the key. That's the key. Guys, that's the key. It's too late to switch topics, but that's the key. So many of you are looking. All you need to do is stop looking and fully repent. Oh, I want that boldness. I want the Word of God to come alive. I want to worship. Then repent of pride. Repent of arrogance. Repent of compromise. Repent of lukewarm living. Repent of rejecting God or putting Him on the back burner and say, God, I come, hands open wide. Take this humble vessel. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. God, break me from the depths of my soul. I want to come out of the prayer closet on fire for You. Because I will tell you this, the only way to be prepared for where our nation is going is to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to get through this on your own finances and your own wit, your humor, you're a good negotiator. What happens when they convert all of our income to cryptocurrency and then the grid goes out? Power grid. No access. Anybody live by the grid that went out yesterday? Holy smokes. You don't realize how I couldn't take a shower. I couldn't, the refrigerators weren't working like most of the day. Phones aren't charging. That's for 6 or 7 hours. And we're throwing a fit. Folks, how are you going to be prepared? Filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't make it easy, but it makes it manageable. Excuses prevent God from working. Excuses prevent God from working. Listen, some of you maybe need to lay down your excuses this morning. Excuses always prevent God from working in your heart. And I put everything from evolution to how could a loving God cast a person to hell? How could a loving God allow all this evil? What they're really doing is giving you an excuse so they don't have to embrace God. Excuses prevent us from that. You don't want to go to hell over a mystery. I'm going to sit and explain the complexities of God because all those things have answers. You just don't want to hear the answer. God does not send anyone to hell. What? Oh, I don't know about this, church. Other than obviously the devil and his minions. But the Bible's clear. Accept, believe in Jesus, choose life that you may live. Reject my offer and plan of salvation. And I cannot dwell with sinful man. You have to go to outer darkness. You choose because of pride. What about, look, how could God allow this suffering? Well, look at the sin. That's what happened. It started back with Adam and Eve. Sin entered in, and we got all kinds of, you don't need an education on this. Just watch a 4-year-old. Mine. Mine. Bam, bam, bam. Don't hit your brother. What? See, it comes out of us. So that God, how could God allow? He gave us choice. And these choices affect how we live. Don't let excuses prevent you from knowing God. Some doubted. Listen, There is nothing wrong. We can use scripture on this. There's nothing wrong when a person doubts or questions. It's what they do with that doubt that tilts the scale. Hey, I'm doubting. Lord, would you help me figure this out? God, I'm having a real struggle here and I need your help. Because why? You're admitting our own human frailty. In our human nature, we doubt. We fear. That's why it says, well, you don't even have a spirit of fear. But we do fear. Wait a minute, I don't have a spirit of fear. Why do I fear? Because the Adamic nature, that old nature that wants to pull us back. So doubt comes in. I deal with doubt sometimes, don't you? If you're not walking with the Lord and you're not in the hard seasons are coming, you're like, God, Lord, what's, did you doubt? I don't think I've ever doubted the word, doubted salvation, those big things. My doubt often comes in like, did God really tell me to do that? Right? Is that God or me? Anybody have that problem? And so we just get back to, Lord, I trust you. And there are many people still caught between belief and doubt. And that's why I said at the beginning of the message, you have to make that decision. You have to say, okay, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. Right? I feel unbelief sneaking in, but I believe. Help my unbelief. And then Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. John Piper said, the sentence of condemnation hanging over their heads was stripped from Satan's hand by the shedding of Jesus' blood. And I want this will be another 20 minutes, so I'm not going to go into it. But when he said, all authority has been given to me, we realize that obviously all authority is God's. But something happened on Calvary. Something happened at the cross. If you've ever paid attention to Scripture, you see that the devil was having a field day before the cross. People demon-possessed, nothing you could do about it. The darkness, the prince of air, this is his season. But Jesus conquers hell, death, sin, and the grave. And that's why he says, all authority has been given to me. So a massive spiritual shift took place. A massive spiritual shift took place. And that's where the title comes from devastation to restoration. I'm going to close with this verse, Isaiah 45:22. Here's the key. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Isaiah 45, look unto me and be saved. And that is a message that we need to get out there. Have you ever heard the name Charles Spurgeon? That's the verse. That's the verse. This old deacon looked in him. There's only 12 people in the church. It's a snowy day. And he said, young man, look and be saved. Look and be saved. And we sing the songs, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. You look with your eyes gazed up in a spirit of humility and you look up, not down upon God. Look and be saved. Look and be safe. Look and be secure. Look and be satisfied. Jesus fulfills all of those needs. It's not just salvation, it's safety and security and satisfy. And I should answer this because it does come in. People say, well, Shane, how can you say safe? Safe. Look what's happened to the people in the Middle East. Look at what happened to some of the Christians in Afghanistan when we pulled out of Afghanistan. How can you say we'll be safe? Oh, you're talking about this. I'm talking about eternity. Jesus said, do not fear him who can kill your body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul in hell. Safe doesn't mean living in my bubble without problems. It means I'm holding on to the hem of his garment all, no matter what I go through. And security. I don't believe, Jesus says, whoever the Father gives me, I will no way lose them. What can separate me from God? Paul will cry out, what can separate me from God? Nothing. Nothing can separate me from God. Height and depth and principalities and powers and created beings and all these things. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm secure. And that as a result, thank God for satisfaction. Thank God this isn't a relationship where like, oh, woe is me. This sucks. I can't wait till I'm out of here. I'm going to bliss out. What is going on? I hate this world. And sometimes I feel like that. Don't get me wrong. But there's a satisfaction. Okay. I am satisfied. Every king will bow their knee. Their knee to Jesus Christ. Every wrong will be done right. And guys, don't give up. We can contend. We can contend. We look and we like, look at California. Look at the United States. You know what God looks at? He sees that. But he also says, there's my remnant church in California and San Diego and over in Texas and Tennessee and Florida and up in here. Look at these believers crying out and calling out. Look at these people not giving up. I will fight their battles. I will stand strong on behalf of them. Do not give up and do not give in. Oh, I'm just glad I don't have to preach next service. I might actually take a nap today, first time in a year. Well, first time on Sunday, yeah. So Pastor Abram is speaking at the next service. If you want to stay and be encouraged, I would encourage you to do so. But you have to deal with that verse. Come to me, all are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And then Jesus said this, not me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And what are we supposed to do? Baptize them. Baptize them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is this? This is saying, you know what? I believe in Jesus. This represents my past, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show the world. I don't care anymore what people think. I'm no longer ashamed of the gospel because it is the power unto salvation for everyone who believes. So what we're going to do, you know what? I won't even change. I'll just wear this. Those who need to get baptized, let's do it this morning. Again, half-hearted. We can't be half-hearted. You know what? I'm all in. With God, there's no partial in. You can do that with banks. There's partial payment, partial this. It's full. All or nothing. He who dies to self picks up his cross and follows me. So let us know if you want to get baptized. Maybe you're baptized as an infant, like I was, into the Roman Catholic Church. That means nothing. Nothing. Maybe you're baptized at 12, like I was, because I want to jump in the swimming pool. My brother and sister, right? But I finally did that at age 30 in Lancaster. And that's when everything shifted, because I was being disobedient for a while, for about a year. I remember, Lord, I'm good. I'm good. I'm 30. This is going to be embarrassing. People think I'm a Christian. They're going to confuse. They're going to think I'm an unbeliever now. No, Lord. And I struggle like a year. But you know God doesn't let you go, does he? Holy smokes. Every time I read baptism, I'm like, close the Bible. It's not for me. That's not for me. Here's why it's so important. It's a step of obedience saying, I'm no longer ashamed of Jesus. Let the world know. Let the world know. And although we don't believe it saves you, I believe it can lead into that abundant life of being filled with the Spirit. Because you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're being disobedient on a key area of spiritual health. So we're going to be next door, myself, Pastor Abram, the prayer team. Let us know, hey, I need to get baptized again. It didn't mean anything. I want to get baptized for the first time. Like the Bible says, confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and that God, believe that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. It's a confession. It's not a perfect prayer. When I came back to the Lord, I didn't pray anything perfect out of the Bible. I said, oh God, help me. Help me. I'm lost. I've destroyed my whole life. I'm done. Oh God, help me. And he said, that's a cry I recognize.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not. I want to hear the Father when he calls.